Christ will feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs and with his hands carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with him. The Lord for a moment and tell him we have come to hear from him. The Lord is here amidst us and is ready to speak to his people. Let's ask the Lord to prepare our hearts to receive from him. Let's speak against every form of distraction. Thank you, Lord God Almighty. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I welcome everyone to the presence of God. It's always a great privilege, you know, to dwell and to be present where God's people are dwelling. God says, where two or three are gathered in my name, in their midst I am. The Lord is here indeed with us and is ready to touch everyone at the point of their need. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. And just before we, you know, go into the word for today, I just want to speak a little on the, you know, the burden of prayer that was raised here, which will eventually lead us to what the Lord has in store for us today. I believe this is a wake-up call to us all that we need to rise up and occupy the position in which God has ordained us to be. It's a wake-up call. You know, we are here for a purpose. We are on this earth for a reason. The Bible describes us as ambassadors of Christ. And as ambassadors of Christ, there's something the Lord is expecting of us to showcase in this world that we are. And it is necessary that as believers, as children of God, as lovers of God, as people who want to really serve God in spirit and in truth, to wake up to this call, to take our positions as sons in this land. Amen.
Amen.
The burden of today's message is relating to that, to the burden of the prayer. And I trust God for the grace to help us to look into what message he really wants to pass across to us. The topic of this burden is the shepherd and the son. Amen. It's called the shepherd and the son. And I don't know how the expanse of how this message will go, but maybe it will take us two or three Sundays to be able to, you know, exhaust the burden that God has in store for us. So we are going to take things So we are going to take this slow and steady, and then we'll see what God has for us. So I want us to follow closely and prepare our hearts, prepare our mind to receive from God. By the grace of God, we are not going to waste time today. By 12:15, we are out of this place.
That's a cool.
Like I said, we are taking it slow and steady. The topic says, the shepherd and the son. And majority, you know, of people today, when they hear the word the shepherd, you know, they hear the son, what they look is that they just see it as a title. They see it as, you know, just a accolade to give to somebody. Like a man of God will name himself, say he's shepherd this. You know? But this particular two words, I would say, I call it an estate in which the Lord wants us to be as believers. And when we look at the Bible, people who walk with God, people who really touch the heart of God, people who really stood up for the gospel, in one way or the other, they got into this capacity, they got into this estate of being a shepherd and also a son. The Bible might not even mention some of them, but there are two people that the Bible specifically mentioned and proclaimed and showed us that these people were in this estate, as the estate of being a shepherd and a son. And by the grace of God, those two people are, number one, David. And the second person was Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
When we look at 1 Samuel chapter 16, we see what the Bible how the Bible describes David here. This story is a story of how the Lord was about to anoint David to become king in Israel. And the Lord had to send his prophet Samuel to anoint him. Reading from 5, but just read quickly. It says, and he said, peaceably I am come. Peaceably, I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourself, and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons, and called them to the sacrifice. Verse 6 says, and it came to pass, when they were come, that he looked on Eliab, and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not unto his countenance, or on his height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For a man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Verse 8 says, and Jesse called Abinadab, and made him pass before Samuel, and he said, neither had the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by, and he said, neither had the Lord chosen this. Again, Jesse made 7 of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord had not chosen this. Then follow me in verse 11. It says, and Samuel said unto Jesse, are ye all thy children? Another translation says, are these all the sons you have? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, what did he do? He keepeth the sheep. Sons passed. Eliab, a man full of stature, a man beautiful to look upon. But God said, no, I don't want him. Abinadab came, good looking. And the Lord said, no, I don't want. 7 sons of Jesse, they came. But the Lord was not interested in them. But who is the Lord interested in? That son that kept the sheep. That son that's taking the estate of the shepherd. When you look at the life of Moses, when Moses left Egypt, the Lord made him to do something. The Lord made him to tend for the sheep for 40 good years before he called him to rescue the children of Israel from Egypt. You can see the transition. You can see the trend of the Lord. You can see the way the Lord operates. That people that the Lord wants at this point in time are people who are going to come into this estate of being a shepherd and also a son. And now, what happened? And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. These are people of authority. They don't need to speak before you know they have authority. They carry the glory of God. Can you imagine a prophet say, we will not sit down until this shepherd, you know, somebody say a little shepherd boy, until he comes. Verse 12, it says, and he sent and brought him in. Now he was ready, and without of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Amen. That is the story of David. That is the number one person that the Bible actually pointed us to, that he was a son, but he was also a shepherd. Another person, like I said, was our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says all this, everything that has happened in the scripture are for our examples. And if the Lord wants to make a people to attain a particular estate, a particular dimension in him, there's always an example to look into. There's always an example to point to in the scripture. There's always something that the Lord will show to us and say, look at this. This has happened. This is not me. You can all reach this point. You can reach this estate. You can attain to this estate. The Lord will help us this morning in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, very quickly, when we look at the book of John chapter 11, John chapter 10, from verse 11. Let me start from verse 10. Very profound statement by the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. He says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it abundantly. Then verse 11 says, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. That was the statement there. The Lord Jesus Christ was a shepherd. He is the shepherd of our soul. Let's go to a place where the Lord actually showed us that Christ is also a son. Amen. Luke chapter 3. I just needed to show you this scripture to prepare our mind and to show us that whatever estate the Lord is requiring of us to be and to enter into this point in time, people have gone through it. People have entered into those estates. People have attained those things. Luke chapter 3, from verse 21. It says, and when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also, being baptized and praying, what happened? The heaven was opened. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven, which said, thou art my beloved Son. Indeed, I am well pleased. This is even the Lord saying, confirming to us that Jesus Christ is his beloved Son. Not just only a son, a beloved son. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. He didn't say, I'm the shepherd. He said, I'm not just a shepherd, I'm a good shepherd. Two places the Lord confirmed to us that Jesus is his son. Luke 9. Another place, Luke 9. from verse 34. It says, while he thus spake, yet came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And what happened again? The same voice that spoke before, when Jesus was baptized, that voice came up again and said, this is my beloved son. Yea. Another confirmation. The Lord needs sons to arise in this day and time. The Lord needs shepherds to arise in this day and time. And by the grace of God, this topic, we'll be looking at it from two perspectives, two angles. Number one, the first perspective we are going to look at this scripture is from the Christ perspective. Christ as the shepherd and as the son. And the second perspective we are going to look at it is from the believer's perspective of us attaining and entering into this estate. Amen.
Amen.
So it's a very, you know, long message to cover, and the Lord will give us the grace.
Amen.
But before we just, you know, move further, I'll just share with us, you know, how I came about this message. Sometimes ago, I was sleeping, and I had a dream. And that dream, I was in a gathering, just like this, just waiting. And then somebody stood up and said, can someone just, you know, share the word with us? And he sat down back. And then a brother from among us just pointed to me and mentioned my name. He said, Daniel, can you share with us on the shepherd and the son? And when he said it, I woke up. I was like, what's going on? And immediately I woke up, a scripture dropped in my heart. I looked at it. I said, okay, no problem. Later that day, I met that same brother that I saw that said I should share on that word. And it was also in a meeting. And they asked the brother, oh, brother, can you pray for us? And the first thing that would come out of his mouth was, oh, great shepherd. And when I heard that, I opened my mouth. I said, oh, okay. So after he prayed, I went to him. I said, brother, are you currently doing a study on the great shepherd or the shepherd and the son? He said, no. I said, well, I had this dream and something. This is what happened. He said, well, I'm not doing a study, but you can look into it and see what the Lord has for us. And from that time, I began to trust in the Holy Spirit, you know, to open his word and to see what he has for us. And it has been amazing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
A lot of revelation, you know. The Lord has been revealing what it actually means for Christ to be our shepherd and what it actually means for Christ to be a son. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the first perspective we are going to start with today is the Christ perspective. Christ said, I am the good shepherd. He said, and the voice said, this is the voice of the Lord said, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. When you look at, just physically speaking and naturally speaking, when you look at the activity of a shepherd, one thing is obvious, is that the shepherd gives direction to the sheep. Amen. When you see people who are shepherds, I'm not talking about herdsmen. I'm talking about shepherds. They give direction to the sheep. They just need to just stretch their hand, and the sheep knows, okay, this is where we should go. Brethren, I tell you, Christ is our shepherd. And you are not a creation of chance. You are not born by mistake. Your existence on this earth is not coincidence.
Right.
It's because the great shepherd has ordained it.
Yeah.
Glory, hallelujah.
One of the things, one of the words the Lord gave to me, just, I think, 7 years ago, when I just, you know, when I fully released myself to allow the shepherd to orchestrate my life, the Lord told me, he said, now that you have allowed me, I want you to know that I'm the one orchestrating your life. I want you to know I'm the one in charge of your life. And that word stood. And is what is still carrying me up to now.
Amen.
And is what is even still going to carry me to the end.
Amen.
When I add that word, stayed. He said, I'm the one orchestrating your life. I tell you the same. You are here, you think your life has no sense of direction. That's garbage.
Yeah.
That's a lie. That's a lie from the devil. And I want you to throw that lie into the trash can. Because the Lord is indeed in charge of your life.
Yeah.
You seated here in Winnipeg, Manitoba, is not a mistake. When I was coming to Canada, I didn't plan to come to Manitoba. I want to go to Prince Edward. Prince Edward Island. That's where I wanted to go. But God, the great shepherd, said, no, I need you in Winnipeg. You have to be in Manitoba. So you seated here at this moment. It's not by chance. The Lord has ordained it. Why? Because the great shepherd is in charge. He said it's the beginning. It's the end. The Alpha, the Omega. It's the A to Z of everything. Look, brethren, there are so many variables in the life of men. There are so many, you know, when I talk about variables, these things don't last long. They are ephemeral, I mean, how they put it. But there's only one constant, and that is your Creator. Because He has been even before the existence of the world. And even after the world failed to exist, your Creator still remains. So the Lord is your shepherd, He's your director, He's the one orchestrating you, He's the one moving you. You think this step you take, you are just taking it by yourself? No. The Lord is indeed your shepherd. He said the steps of the righteous are ordered by God. Somewhere in Isaiah 49, He said, listen, O I, and hearken to me, ye people. He said, the Lord has called me from the womb. He said, from the bowels of my mother, He has mentioned my name. So before you even start breathing, the shepherd was already in charge of your life. The blueprint was already done.
Yes.
He said, He has made my mouth like a sharp sword. He has hidden me in the quiver of His hands. The third verse of that chapter says, He said, you are my servant, O Jacob. You are my servant, O Daniel. You are my servant, O Philip. You are my servant, O Mercy, in whom I will be glorified. When the Lord wanted to call Jeremiah, He told him, He said, for your mother's womb, I have ordained you to be a prophet unto the nations. So if you are here and you think, oh, I don't even know what's going on. Yes, you don't need to know. A song says, many things about tomorrow, I don't seem to understand. But I know who holds tomorrow, and I know He holds my hand. God wants tomorrow. So you don't need to care, oh, I don't know where I'll be in the next 10 years. Forget about it. The Lord knows where you're going to be in the next 10 years.
Yeah.
He knows where you're going to be tomorrow, even before you know.
That's right.
You want to know why He knows? There are so many times you plan, well, let me plan my week. You know, set schedule. I want to do this, you know, this thing. And you just come, that week we start. Something will just come and then push it away. You know, I used to, there's one of my sisters here. I needed to meet with her. And then I would tell her, okay, we'll meet on this day. And then before I know it, before that day comes, something will just, okay, sorry, I can't meet with you. That's man. You don't have the direction. You don't know where you're going to be. But God knows. He knows the beginning and He knows the end. Amen.
Amen.
So we're going to see from this scripture that the Lord, you know, gave to me, and we're going to look into. This scripture is a very common scripture. People know it off heart. Some people are addicted to that scripture. When they want to sleep, they read that scripture. When they wake up, they read the scripture. When they want to do anything, that scripture is what they read. But they don't know that that scripture is containing life.
Yeah.
They just read it casually. Oh, this, you know. I remember when I was in children department those years. They gave me, that scripture is part of those scriptures they gave me. And I used to find it out to just read it. And I'll be flogged. because I failed to, you know, take it as a memory verse. But today the Lord will help us to look in depth into this scripture and to see what He actually has in store for us. Psalm 23. You can now see that it's truly a popular scripture. So I want somebody from the congregation to read, and you read. I don't want you to read it like a scripture you know. Read it as if you are seeing it for the first time. Amen.
Amen.
Psalm 23 from verse 1 to 6.
Psalm 23 from verse 1 to 6. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be lost. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restored my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen.
Amen. Brother, do you know that scripture actually showed us what the shepherd does? Everything that the shepherd does in a man's life. That scripture showed it to us. Everything Christ is doing as a shepherd over our lives is in this scripture. Is in this particular Bible verse. And it's so surprising. And when I read it, something just dawned on me. I said, wow, David was a shepherd. And he wrote about the shepherd. I said, oh, that's interesting. That means there's a lot in stock in this scripture. And we're going to take it verse by verse and see what the Lord has for us. Amen.
Amen.
The first statement in the verse 1, it says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That's the truth. Amen. That's the truth. The Lord is our shepherd, and we shall not want. Apart from direction, the shepherd gives provision to his sheep. Amen.
Amen.
And now the provision cuts across every span and every, you know, every form of existence. That is what that is the extent in which the provision is being made readily available. In Peter, he says, according to his power, he has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Like I said earlier on, your existence on earth is not by chance, is not by mistake. And the Lord knows that you are going to come and you are going to be, you know, brought forth into this, in this land. Or you are going to be given back to. And God has readily have given us everything that a man needs to be what? To be in safe hands and to be in communion with God. Amen.
Amen.
Your parents are a provision. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord, when the Lord Jesus was about to come to earth, He needed a parent. He needed a parent. The Lord provided Mary and Joseph. Then this will be your parents. The same thing applies to us too. When we are about to, you know, enter into this world, we needed parents. And we came through our parents. Our parents is a provision. The Lord knows in your journey in life you are going to need a wife. He gave you a wife. He knows you are going to need a husband. He gave you a husband. And for those who are not married, amen?
Amen.
He knows you are going to need and He's going to give to you.
Amen.
You are not saying amen.
Amen.
You are not saying amen. Now when you go to your secret presentation. Amen. He knows you are going to need so many things, and He has provided it. He said, because He's my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not lack anything. Another word that the Lord gave to me, you know, that same 7 years ago, He told me, He said, as from now, anywhere you meet yourself and anywhere you find yourself, you are always going to be in safe hands. I promise you that. That was the word God gave me, and I held Him by His word. And the Lord has, you know, when the Bible says God is not man that should lie, nor a son of man that should repent. That was when the Lord began to work in my life. That scripture dawned on me that truly, God speaks and it comes to pass. When He gave me that word, I said, okay, let's see. And you know, in my journeys, I've you know been in so many places, and the Lord will always prepare people for me. If somebody will just come and say, how are you doing? You know, what's okay? Do you know your way? Somebody will just come and then, you know, I don't know how it used to happen. But one specifically happened when I was coming to Canada, Winnipeg, Manitoba. I was coming, you know, I don't know anybody here. And on the plane, just 10 minutes before I landed in Winnipeg, I said, God, I've entered this land. I remember you said, anywhere I am, I'll be in safe hands. So I don't know even where to go about from the airport. And as the Lord we have it, a brother that they sent on an errand, you know, to the airport to come and pick something. I don't know, maybe God ministers and say, that boy is my sheep, and I want to pay for him. So go and meet him. But this brother, you know, just approached me. I don't know him from Nigeria. I don't know him from anywhere. I know him now, shall I? Then he said, welcome, what's your name? I mentioned my name. He said, okay, do you have a place to stay? When he said that, I remember that word again and said, God, you are faithful. I said, well, I don't have a place. I have to resume, you know, in the residence later on, but for this period of time, I don't have a place. He said, come and stay in my house. And ever since then, you know, even coming to the fellowship here is as a result of that word that God has given me. So when the Lord has given you a statement, when the Lord has said, look, this is what I want to do with you, I want you to take that word to heart. Because the Lord will surely make that word come to pass in your life. Amen. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You can't lack anything because the great shepherd who is in charge has provided. See, if you leave Winnipeg today, and meet yourself anywhere where there's no fellowship, there's no, the Lord will pick you. He will tend for you. The Lord knows you're going to need family. He gave you a family. He knows you're going to need brethren. He gave you brethren. Tokwe is a brother. Debbie is a sister. Everyone of meeting, you know, when you look at your meeting, how you met every one of us here, you know, just think about it. Is the Lord just ordaining things? Is the Lord orchestrating things and bringing it? Because He knows at one point in time you're going to need this, and He's making those things available. But the Lord will open our understanding, amen, to see the provision that He has prepared for us. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Verse 2, it says, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Let's stop there. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. When you look at what pasture, I see pasture as God's ordained rest. Amen. So there are different forms of pasture, but this pasture, the Lord specifically says, is a green pasture. It's not a dry pasture. There's wetness there. There's coolness there. You see, brother, let me tell you, the redemptive work of Christ is not only to just reconcile us back to God and to just, you know, make us align and, you know, just make us in close proximity with God, or to deliver us from the hands of the devil alone. It's also to take us into the rest of God. Amen. The thief by the cross, he was looking for rest. That's why he was stealing. Amen. And he thought in stealing he will find rest, but rest was not in stealing. Rest was in the great shepherd. And the thief by the cross looked as I said, look, how do you put it? Let's where's that scripture? Luke. Luke,
Luke
Luke 23. Yeah, when you look at from verse, you know, let me start from verse 40. But the other answered, verse 39, and one of the malefactors, which were railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, does not thou fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man had done nothing amiss, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. When I read this scripture, I said, what kind of revelation can a thief receive on the cross in pain? I said, look, I know he must have thought of his life, say, all my life I was just stealing. But this man, I think this man was, he has something. And he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into your kingdom. He understands that only the great shepherd can give him the rest he was looking for. And God spoke and said, you have asked well. Today, you will be with me in the rest of God. So, brethren, only the great shepherd can take us into the rest in which we desire. Look, our words can't give us the rest. Our intellect cannot give us the rest we desire. That boyfriend, that girlfriend cannot give you the rest you desire. You have been abused, you know, you have been messed up in one way or the other. There's only one place where you can find the rest, and that is in the hands of the great shepherd. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. What will I do? I will give you rest. Even the things God has given you, there's a limit to which they can take you into the rest of God. Only the shepherd can usher you into that rest. If without the shepherd, you continue to lie down in dust, in condemnation. You lie down in sin. You continue to lie down in ungodliness. You continue to lie down in the miry clay. But only the shepherd can take us from that position and take us into the rest in which we desire. Look, your career cannot give you that rest. The ambition you have everybody has ambition. I have ambition. But I know it cannot give me the rest that I'm looking for. I remember I was watching a documentary of a woman in which the world so revered so much. They worship her so much that they even idolize her. You know, they say she's a very good philanthropist, she's this, she's that, mother this, mother that. But when this woman was about to die, do you know the statement that came out from her mouth? She said, I feel a void inside of me. Your good works cannot give you the rest you are looking for. He said, my heart is empty. When I heard that, I said, what? With all the money, with the secret account she has full of money, all the orphanage home and everything she was building, did not give her the rest she was looking for. There was still a void. That void in your heart, only the shepherd can fill it up.
Yeah.
Only the shepherd can fill it up. And you just have to stretch up your hand. The thief said, look, Lord, remember me. He had to cry. I believe maybe that was his last breath that used to say that statement. Lord, remember me when you get to your kingdom. The shepherd is readily available and is the only one that can give us the rest in which we desire. Every other source is a wrong source. He says there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is destruction. Without the shepherd, we can amount to nothing. Only God can give us the rest we desire. Amen.
Amen.
He says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Now, I said the pasture is green because there's wetness. What followed after? Where?
He
leadeth me beside the still waters. Can you see? This is the reason why the pasture is green. Because there is a still water there. I call that water the living water. Hallelujah. Only the great shepherd can lead us to that living water. Let's see a story of a woman. John chapter 4. We know this story very well too. But we'll see something here. 4. Yeah, John 4. This is the story of the Samaritan woman. Let's see from verse 7. No. From verse 3. The scripture says, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And verse 4 says, and he must needs go through Samaria. Now this actually established why I said God is indeed in charge of our life. Jesus did not just go to Samaria because he wanted to go to Samaria or because he wanted to tour the land of Samaria. There was somebody waiting. There was an evangelist in the making he needed to encounter. There was somebody that needed the living water. There was somebody that needed the well inside of her to be springed up. You know why I call this woman an evangelist in the making? Look at what happened after her encounter. She went and called the whole city. But before then, this woman was able to acquire 7 men unto herself as husband. You know, for you to be able to do that, you have to be a very good orator. And you know, you have to know how to present yourself very well. But God said, you are channeling this thing in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
I'm going to encounter this woman. It has been ordained from the foundation of the world that God will meet the Samaritan woman and her life will be changed. Just to solidify the fact that God is in charge of our life. No one is in charge. Only God, the shepherd, is in charge of our life. Now, let's read on. God will show us something here. Then cometh into the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of the ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the 6th hour, there came a woman from Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. Verse 8 said, for his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. There was a reason why the disciples of Jesus was not there. We'll see that. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, asketh drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans. If the disciples were there, they would have even followed up this statement that this woman said. You know, they would have said it's true. They will collect the fetcher from, give me the fetcher. And the Lord Jesus said, I want to drink water. They will say, come on, Samaria. But God gave them a mission, go and buy meat. Hallelujah. He said, go and buy meat. I need to encounter somebody. So, but the woman, she's also suffering from something. When she got there, and Jesus said, give me water to drink. He said, what? Do you know I'm a Samaritan? He said, I know. And that's like, give me water. You know, we don't have anything in common. You know, that's what we say a lot of times to ourselves. I call this the me syndrome. M-E, me. Oh, I'm not worthy. I can't do it. Look at me. I'm sinful. I'm this. I'm carnal. I'm this one. And God is saying, come. Let me be the one. Okay, so let me, that well inside of you, let me open it up.
Amen.
And you are saying, no. I'm not this. God said, come up here. He said, let me remain here. Who am I? I'm unworthy. And this and that. That syndrome is killing a lot of people today. It's type 10, the me syndrome. You know, it's all about me. And when it's all about you, you begin to go down, even to the lowest end. This woman was saying, look, I'm not this, I'm not that. And Jesus was like, I'm not asking you to state what you are, what you are not to me. Just give me the chance to encounter you. Let's read on. Let's see what happened. And Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knowest the gift of God, and who it is that said to you, give me drink, thou would have asked of him, and would have given thee living water. Ah, Jesus. God has to tell that woman, if you know the person that is talking to you, you will be telling me I'm a Samaritan, or I'm a Samaritan, or you're a Jew. You don't need to say those things. He said, if you know who is asking you to give, if I ask you to give me water, you ask me, say, give me the living water. Verse 11. But this woman has not finished, she has not yet recovered from the syndrome. Verse 11. He said, the woman said unto her, sir, thou hast nothing to draw. Look, Jesus is going north, she's going south. You know, when we look at ourselves, that's what we are doing. The Lord said, I want you to, you say, no. I want to do this. This is what, you know, somebody will say, let me just be coming to church, you know, pray, sing, go back home. Come, pray, sing, go back home. And the Lord said, look, there is a potential in you. There's a well in you that needs to be open. You can't remain in come, go, let me. You can't do that. I have a need of you. You are my battle axe. I need you. So, but you just say, no, I don't want to involve myself. You don't want to involve yourself. Ah, you will go down the drain. This woman was just so, she was just full, just only herself. She doesn't want to care about anything. And the fact that she even ate Jews, saying, we don't have anything in common. But look, he said, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. No, that's all stories. From whence then as thou that's living water? You know, when you look at yourself too much, you become limited to the physical realm. You become limited to those things around you. Our sensitivity will just be low. You know, this is when carnality comes up. This is when being a natural man comes up. You will not see beyond what you are seeing physically. Jesus was talking about the living water. She's asking, where, what are you going to draw the living water? Oh, where are you going to get this living water from? That shows the extent in which looking down on ourselves takes us. It makes us limited. When there are potentials that we can achieve in God, when there are dimensions we can reach in God, but we look at ourselves and look, I'm not worthy. I can't just do it. And then another one says, she's still talking. She said, "Art thou greater than our father Jacob?" She went back to the storyline, which gave us the well and drank the well. You see, we have a lot of that stories too. Well, my family, we don't really, we are just casual Christians, you know. We just serve God, you know. We pay our tithe. We just praise God. We go to camp. We do this. It's not about going to camp. It's not about spending time. It's not about, you know, doing all the religious activity that have been, poured into our mindset to operate on. There are dimensions. There are relationships that we can enter with God that can take us to the potential, that can take us to where the Lord wants us to be. But he said, no, in our family, it has just been like that. We are just cool. You know, we are cool. You are cool. Until the devil takes hold of you. Then verse 13, and Jesus answered and said unto her, look, the truth is, whosoever drinketh of this water shall never thirst again. Let me explain something here to us. And in that explanation, I'm going to add, that Psalm 23, give me that verse that we read. Yeah, if you then desire the still waters, then the next one. Then this. That's just that statement, he restored my soul. I'm just going to add it there to explain what's going on here. Jesus said, whosoever drinks of this water shall never thirst again. Now, as a result of the fall, there was a according to the configuration setting of the soul, was changed. There was a task in the soul. There was something the soul was longing for. But the soul was longing for it in a very wrong direction. It's as if this is it. It said, whosoever drinketh of this water will never thirst again. The soul has a longing. You want to, you know, I want to do this, I want to do this, I want to reach this point, I want to do this, I want to do it. But all those longings are channeled in the wrong direction. It's like the soul was being, you know, hypnotized, like mind controlled. Say, the fall gave the soul a void that was formerly not a void. When God created us, He has created that fountain of living water inside of us. But because of the fall, because Adam failed, the well was shut down, and then the soul began to thirst and began to long. Look, satisfaction can only be found in God.
Amen.
The soul began to thirst after. I read this. I quoted a scripture, Proverbs chapter 14, that says that there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is destruction. Everything a man is, you know, longing for, looking for, is just to fill the void in the heart, just to fill that space, that emptiness that is inside the heart. But the soul is turning it in the wrong direction because there's absence of that which can trigger the living water inside of us. So we go about so many things. That's why you see so many ways, you know, so many patterns to get to God. You know, they're asking them, how many ways to God get to God? Is that why, you know, there are different ways? You know, you can. There are not different ways. There's only one way, and that is through the shepherd. So, but that's why you see a lot of things today coming up. You know, Buddha, Allah, this one, a lot of things are coming up just to fill that emptiness, that satisfaction. But there's only one thing that can make a man, that can fill that thirst, that can quench that thirst that man is looking for, and that is the living water. And God will come through the great shepherd. So what happened here? He said, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I give, he shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. So there is a well inside of you that needs to spring up. And once that this well starts springing up, you will channel all those things into seeking after righteousness, after seeking after godliness, seeking after the things of God, seeking after the way of the Lord. Before, when that well is closed, you think you are seeking for satisfaction, but you are putting yourself deeper into the pit. It's like somebody that said, I want to live long. You want to live long, but you are eating sugar every day. You can't live long. Your life will be cut short. Yeah. He said, no, I want to live long. I want to live to, even, you know, to share the grace all the days of my life. I shall not die, but live. So you shall not die, but live. But when you go back to your house, you're going to eat donuts. You're going to eat. You're going to drink Pepsi. And he said, you shall not die, but live. You are deceiving yourself. But why I say that is that the soul saying, I want to feel this emptiness. But the soul is going after the way of the devil. You want to feel this emptiness, you go to the pub to drink beer. You want to feel the emptiness, you say, go and blow the steam off. You go to the party, to party. You want to feel the emptiness, you involve in a lot of things that kills you the more. There's only one thing that can quench that thirst. That's the living water. And you have to drink from it. Spring up, oh well, within my soul. All those things shut down. It's like you lock the well, and then the more you go deeper, they are adding more padlocks to the well and locking it. The well inside of us must spring forth.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You have just 3 minutes. So the Samaritan woman was giving Jesus a lot of stories, but Christ was saying, no, look, I'm not interested in your story. Look, the Lord is not interested in your story. He's not interested in your position, in the state you are. He just wants to rescue you. He wants to elevate you. He wants to make you ascend into the hills that he has prepared. He wants you to come up to the mountain. So quit telling those stories of unworthiness. Drink from the living water. Drink from the water that gives life. And you see, you begin to run and thirst after righteousness.
Amen.
You begin to run and thirst after godliness. You know, thus, in regards to the burden of prayer today, only people who have drunk and, you know, who are drunken of the living water can see all this wickedness going about, and then they will stand up to pray and establish the authority of God in this land. If you see those things and you are lethargic, you are saying, well, as far as those things, you know, the world is growing day by day. You know, you start saying stories, the technology is moving day by day. You'll be caught up on a race. We have to drink from that living water. And it's only the shepherd that can lead us there. He leaded me to the still water. And when I drank of that still water, he restored my soul back to where it's supposed to be. Do you know where the soul has to be? The soul was supposed to be in alignment with the spirit. The living water is the spirit that aligns the soul. And when your soul is in alignment, the flesh has no option than to align.
Yeah.
It has no say again. But because we have not taken of that living water, we've not drunk of that living water, we've not stretched forth our hand and said, oh great shepherd, fill me up with that living water. Let the well inside of me spring forth. I want to experience the power in this living water. That's why we find ourselves doing a lot of things, abominable things, things that the Lord does not require from us. We begin to fall into one diverse temptation or the other, begin to fall into, immoral things. We need to drink of that well today.
Amen.
We need to drink of that well today. Amen.
Amen.
And then it has not ended there. Look, let's just see what happened to the woman after that. Then the woman said unto him, okay, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come either to draw. And Jesus said, go, call your husband and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband, said unto her. And Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou hast is not thy husband. And thou said thou truly. Then her eyes began to open. She began to, you know, the well inside of her began to spring forth. Then she said, the woman said unto him, sir, I perceive thou art a prophet. Her father worshipped in this mountain, and he said that in Jerusalem is this place where men ought to worship. See what is coming out from a woman. And Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. That's what the living water does. It makes you long after God. You pursue after God. You know, Paul tasted of that living water. When he came and said, look, forget what this story you are saying. I don't want to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's why they experienced the living water. The disciples experienced this living water. They came and said, men and brethren, you don't need to argue all this argument. Jesus is. They experienced this living water Even in the place of persecution, you know, someone just came out of prison, and the next thing, you know, from prison back to synagogue to preach, that is somebody who the well is springing for. When that well is springing for, you will not be afraid. When they say, let's go to evangelism, you will not go to your corner and say, that's when you have assignment. When they say, come for prayer meeting, that's when you say, I have some. You don't have anything. You don't want to stay. You don't want to seek after God. And if that is happening, we need to go back to the shepherd and say, let this well spring forth in me. When that spring, it says men ought always to pray and not to faint. Praying men are men whose well is springing forth and full of life and full of the fountain of life is flowing from them. Those are praying men. So if all these things are lacking in our lives, it means that well is not springing forth the way it should be. When they say, let's go to the reserve to do this, you say, reserve, that place is too far. 1 hour, I mean, it's too far. When that well springs forth, nobody will tell you. You leaded me in the path of righteousness. That's what the well does. After you have drank of that water, you begin to long after righteousness. You ate wickedness just as your father ate wickedness. You ate immoral things just as your father ate them. You don't find pleasure in doing things against the will of God, just as your father takes pleasure in you doing his will. As a result of our encounter with this living water, and it's springing up into everlasting life in us, our cravings change, our longing change, our desires change. It changed for the better, it changed for good. That's what the shepherd does. The shepherd is available right now. The shepherd is here with us. And he wants that water to spring forth inside of us. He wants our cravings to, you know, our appetites. Appetite for the things of this world. Appetite for the things that will perish. He wants to break that appetite and give us appetites towards him. Longing towards him. Enoch walked with God, for it was not. That was an appetite. Enoch tasted of that living water.
Hallelujah.
Only someone who has tasted of that water can walk with God like that. He walked with God. God said, look, you have tried, come. You have tried. Just come. Enough is enough. While others were partying, marrying, giving to all sorts of things, Enoch was seeking after God, to know God. That was because he has tasted of that living water. What's the next one? For his name's sake. Now, the name of Jesus is a powerful name. All what the shepherd is doing is as a result of the power in the name of Jesus. He says, as soon as they hear of me, fear will take hold of them. He says, strangers, when they hear of me, they shall flee out of their hiding place in trembling. They shall flee out of their closed places with trembling. That's because the name of Jesus, this living water does not only just come. And it does not only just come and spring up well in you. Everything that does not speak of God is being expelled from inside of you. Why? Because of the name of Jesus. He said, thou hast highly exalted him. He has given him a name that is above every other name. That the name of Jesus, ungodliness, there are beings behind it, there are spirits behind it. And he said, at the name of Jesus, they shall all flee. So the water is not just only, it's not only just springing up, it's coming with the power in the name. For his name's sake, because of Christ. He said, when you ask anything of me, in my name, my Father will do it. Lastly, before we just stop there for now, it says, what's the next one?
4.
Yet though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. We'll stop there. Now in this life and in this world we are, you know, because of the influence of darkness and a lot of things, they are jealous, I call them jealous wolves. They don't want you to attain that point, that goal. They don't want you to reach that rest that the shepherd is taking you to. And so they come, they attack you. They put a bit of disturbance in your way. When the Lord was about to go and visit the man full of demons in gathering, you know what the enemy did? He sent storm. Say, disturb the peace. Don't let it. Jesus said, no. That man has been ordained to be free. And then he says, storm, be still. The disciples marveled. How come? And after that, Christ went to deliver that man from those spirits. Because he is with you, you will fear no evil. That means in your ups and downs, you know, there are moments where you've prayed, you've cried unto God, you fasted, you went to deliverance one place to another, Daniel prayed for you, Ruki prayed for you, everybody prayed for you, and you see, this thing is not, what is going on? You cry, you pray to God, you did a lot of things, you are weary. God is telling you, fear not, because I never even left you. In those moments, I'm always present. When it seems as if things are not working out, you look and say, what is going on? Why is my life like this? That moment you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. But because God has said, I am not giving you the spirit of fear. Said, I've given you the spirit of love, of power, and of a sound mind. You will fear no evil. Because they can't touch you. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. The shepherd is always there, in your ups and downs. There's nothing you're going through that is too big for God to handle.
Hallelujah.
There's no situation you're going through that is too big for the Almighty God to solve. You just only need to have it at the front of your mind that God is with you and he has gone nowhere. Sometimes you might say God is not even telling you anything. You take out 3 days, I want to seek the face of God. You go there, you pray, fast, speak in tongues, and you are expecting, and nothing is coming forth. The shepherd is telling you, I'm still here.
Yeah.
Just calm down. Fear not, I'm with you.
Yeah.
The man will sing, have you prayed every prayer that you know how to pray? Just remember the Lord we hear. And the answer is on his way. Our God is able. He is mighty. He is faithful. He never sleeps. He never slumbers.
He never tires of hearing our prayer. When we are weak, he makes us stronger. So rest in his God and cast all of your cares on him.
God is never weak and tired of hearing your prayers. He is there. He said, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. From where cometh my help? He said, my help cometh from the Lord that has made the heaven and the earth. He said, I will not suffer my foot to be moved. He said, he that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel never slumber nor sleep. He said, the Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. He said, the sun shall not smite thee by day, neither the moon by the night. He said, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil, from every valley of the shadow of death. Sometimes you think you don't feel like you want to kill yourself. The Lord is telling you, I'm with you. Sometimes I'm going on the bridge and so you feel like, let me jump down from this bridge. The Lord is saying, I'm with you.
Yeah.
The devil has got nothing on you because the shepherd is with you. He said, the Lord shall preserve thy coming in and thy going out from this time forth and even forever. That is what the great shepherd does. You are safe in his hands. So don't let fear take hold of you. Now, some people are just afraid of nothing. You know, fear is just, you know, and they are just afraid. Quit fearing, for the shepherd is with you. Isaiah chapter 25. I have showed us what the Lord is actually doing when we feel as if he's not responding. Let me just add one thing. Well, before I say, do something clean. Okay. He said, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. When the Lord gives you an assurance that he's with you, it's a comfort. You know, he said, the joy of the Lord is my strength.
Amen. Go for that.
Five. He said, now, he said, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So in that down moment, in that valley of the shadow of death, there are several things the Lord is doing on your behalf, and you don't know. Because you are not seeing the physical manifestation of those things, you are weary. You are saying God has forsaken me. No. You are saying God has neglected me. Never. You are saying God has not even answered me. No, you are saying the heavens are not closed. They are open. This is what God is doing. He's preparing a table before you. In the presence of, you know why he's preparing a table? What, when you eat a food, what does it do? It gives you strength. Apart from that, it makes you grow. So when the Lord prepares a table before you in your down moment, the Lord is feeding you to outgrow that problem.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Amen.
Yes.
He's feeding you to outgrow that problem. It's like when they give you a garment. When they give you a medium-sized cloth now, and then you feed. You are skinny before, and then you eat a lot. And in the next 6 months, you just came out, boom. If they give you that same cloth, it's not going to fit you again. So every problem, every damn moment, every valley of the shadow of death, there's a mountain that is growing up from it. After a valley is a mountain, there's a table that is prepared for you. The Lord is saying, feed on me, no worry. I will handle this thing. I said Isaiah 25, right? Let me just, you know, confirm what I just said there. Isaiah 25 from verse. Let me start just from verse 1. He said, Lord, O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name. For thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. Say, for thou hast made of a city an heap, of a defense city a ring, a palace of strangers to be no city. It shall never be built. He said, therefore shall the strong people glorify thee. The city of the terrible nation shall fear thee. He said, for thou hast been a strength to the poor, and strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the world. Thou art bring down the noise of a stranger, as the heat in a dry place, even the heat with the shadow of the cloud. The branch of the terrible ones shall be brought low. I said, in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wine on the list of fat things, full of marrow, of wines on the list, well refined. Verse 7 says, he said, and he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast of all people, and the veil that is spread over nations. He said he will swallow up death in victory. The Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces and rebuke of his people. And the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off the earth, for the Lord has spoken it. And then verse 9 says, and it shall be said in this day, lo, this is our God, we have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord, we have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Verse 10, it says, for in this mountain shall the hand of the Lord rest, and Moab shall be trodden down under him, even as straw is trodden down from the dunghill. And he said, he shall spread forth his hand in the midst of them, as he that swimmeth spreadeth forth his hand to swim. He shall bring down their pride together with the spoils of their hands, and the fortress of the high fort wall shall he bring down, lay low, and bring to ground, even the dust, even to the dust. That is what the Lord actually is doing at that point in time. The Lord is addressing all those enemies, those Moabites, those things that seem as that seems to exalt themselves above, those things that I think you don't have capacity to handle. The Lord is bringing them low, and is also giving you food to eat, to gain strength. He's feeding you to outgrow those things and to elevate you, to move you, so that you can say, this is my God. I have waited for his salvation, and he has indeed saved me, as he has said. That is what the Lord is doing. So when those thoughts come, he said, remember you not the former things, neither consider the things of old. For behold, I will do a new thing, and shall you not know it? Do not consider those things. The Bible counts them as old things. Those things that weigh you down, they are things of old. They are things you should not even look at. They are distractions. They are major distractions to just debar you from entering into that rest that God has prepared for you. Look unto the new thing that the Lord is doing. He said, I will do a new thing, and you will know it. We fix our gaze on the shepherd. We trust in him. When the sheep are eating and the shepherd is there, they are not afraid of anything, because they know the shepherd is... You can't just be a shepherd anyhow. You have to have the capacity to do it. David was not just an ordinary shepherd. He was a shepherd that kills lions and bears. So how much more our God, the good shepherd, the only one of Israel, in whom everything that is in existence, he created. Everything is in charge of him. He said he will spread forth his hand like that, that he that like he that swimmeth. The Lord doesn't need to just, you know, or flick it and to be moved. Nothing is too small for God. No, nothing is too big for God to be able to handle. Everything are just they are limited. He said the earth is his footstool, the heaven is his throne. So what is that valley of the shadow of death that want to make you to kill yourself? What is that valley of the shadow of death that is making you weary in the place of prayer? What is that valley of the shadow of death that is making you to neglect the gathering of the brethren? What is that valley of the shadow of death that is making you to cry every day on your pillow? What is that valley of the shadow of death that is bringing down your head? It is too small for God to handle. It is too small for God to handle. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
May the Lord strengthen us.
Amen.
May the Lord give us understanding.
Amen.
To know that we... He said our words are continually before him. That means he's looking at us day and night. He's keeping watch over us, so that nothing can come near us. We'll just stop there for today. And next week we'll continue from there. Let us begin to pray. The great shepherd has told us that I am in charge of your life. From the days of your, from the time you're in your mother's womb, I've already known you, I've given you the name you are bearing today.